It took Sarah's faith plus Abraham's faith to get that miracle. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. The ladies are being honored in the sermon we began yesterday, Faithful Rocking Rules the World. We're finding that they're not minor players in the story that God is unfolding, not at all. Those big promises that God gave to Abraham, the ones that shaped history and are still echoing today, they were also promises to his wife Sarah. They would have fallen to the ground without her faith. Here's Jim at Hebrews 11:11.
Even though she was past the age, she considered that the one who had promised was faithful. Circle that word considered, ladies. Consider. You're often accused of being too emotional, and you think emotionally and you act emotionally and you don't use your brain sometimes. Here's a great illustration from Scripture that God gives women brains and expects them to use them. It's the same word, by the way. It's the same word, this word considered, that you're going to see over here in the case of Moses. Far more dramatic. Look at verse 26. Here it's talking about Moses. And it says, Moses considered reproach for the sake of the Messiah to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. Oh, that sounds like a wise decision. Yeah, no wiser than Sarah's. And I think you'll find the same thing up here in verse 19. Here it's talking about Abraham. Look what it says. Abraham considered God to be able to raise someone from the dead. Now let me ask you a question. Which was the greater miracle? Abraham concluding, considering, pondering, thinking. Abraham considering that God, if he needs to, can raise Isaac up from the dead. If I have to sacrifice Isaac to God, I'll do that, because if God keeps his promise, Isaac's the key to that promise, and if Isaac's the key and God keeps his promise, God will do whatever is necessary to bring him back to life. Which is the greater miracle? Abraham considering that, or Sarah considering, I'm barren. All of my human capacities to bear children are gone. Which is the greater miracle? Neither is greater than the other. But Sarah's decision shows a faith that's not one smidgen less significant than Abraham's. And we often read about Abraham's faith, we read about Moses' faith, and we celebrate that. Yeah, good for them. Listen, guys, listen, gals, don't do that. Don't do that. Sarah knew what God's will was, and she said, even though I'm dead, God promised. Which was the greater miracle? Sarah's conception? Or the possibility of raising Isaac from the dead if necessary? Neither is greater. They are both superb. Ladies, don't fear to be a faithful woman. Don't fear to conjugate. Don't fear to think. And don't fear to act in direct response to God's tug at your heart. That's what Sarah did. Well, as a result of Sarah's faith, we learn that, therefore, verse 12, from one man, that's Abraham, in fact, from one man as good as dead, came offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. Wow, did she accomplish something significant? I should say so. I should say that's quite a legacy. Now, when we come to verse 17, here's the other side of that. In verse 17, we talk about Abraham. When he was tested, Abraham's faith in God is tested. We read he offered up Isaac. He offered him up. Abraham, in his heart and mind and with every action appropriate, sacrificed his son. He gave his son up. Now, you go back and read the Old Testament story, and what you find is that Abraham's love for Isaac was beginning to shadow and compete against Abraham's love for God. That's what the test was all about. The test was, would Abraham say, I got Isaac, he's my son, in him is the promises, God, I don't need you anymore, I'll go with Isaac. Or would Abraham, hearing the voice of God, Abraham, go sacrifice your son, your only son, your son Isaac, go take him to a mountain, I'll show you, and sacrifice him there. Deliver him up, offer him up as a sacrifice. With all the emotion that must have caused in Abraham's soul and spirit, because he desperately loved Isaac, and he knew that the whole of the promise God had made him was hinged upon this boy. That was the test. The test is, Abraham, you love me more than you know of Isaac. Are you willing to sacrifice Isaac to me? Every question, every parent needs to ponder that question. Thank God he doesn't test us like this, like he tested Abraham. Well, we read that Abraham decided he would sacrifice his son, and the text says he, by faith, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. In Abraham's heart, it was God first, Isaac second. It was obedience to God. Isaac needs to be sacrificed. And that's the decision he made. He offered up Isaac. And notice, he who had received the promises was offering up his unique son, about whom it had been said, in Isaac your seed will be called. Isaac is the linchpin. Isaac is critical to all the promises of God, including the coming of the Messiah, including the ultimate blessing of the world, including crushing Satan's head. All of that was hanging on Isaac. Isaac was the one, not Ishmael. Not any of the six sons that Abraham had with Keturah. I think that's right, the lady Abraham married later. And I think he had six sons by Keturah. So whatever was wrong with the plumbing, God fixed it pretty good. You're looking at me like you've never heard that. Now go back and read it. You'll be surprised. When God fixes something, he does good job. Good job. Now, Abraham did this, and you notice, he who had received the promises, that's Abraham. The promises. Sarah responded to the promise, the one who had promised. Now in Hebrews 11, we're watching people respond specifically to specific promises God makes. And the question is, will God keep his promise? When God promises Sarah, you're going to have a son, his name's going to be Isaac, and in and through that son, all the rest of the promises are going to be fulfilled. To Abraham, God says, Isaac's the man. Are you willing to offer him up to me? Are you willing to sacrifice him to me? You're willing to give him back to me in a sacrifice? And Abraham says, yes, I'm willing to do that. Knowing that all the promises that God had made to him were attached to that son that stretched out there on the altar, helpless, waiting for the death blow. Why would Abraham do that? We read, he who had received the promises was offering his unique son, about whom it had been said, "And Isaac your seed will be called." Verse 19, he considered God to be able even to raise someone from the dead. How about that? Abraham anticipated the capacity of God to bring someone back from death. And he believed, Abraham believed, that if that was what was necessary to fulfill his promise through Isaac, then God would raise him back from the dead. And the text goes on to say, look at that, from which he also got him back, as an illustration. An illustration of what? An illustration of an Isaac that would one day go to a cross and there die. And that Isaac that went to the cross was also a unique son. Did you see that?
Yes.
Did you see that in there? He who had received the promises was offering up his unique son. The phrase in Scripture that's often used is the only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That phrase means uniquely begotten son. It means the Son of God who became the Son of God in a unique way. Abraham had other children. He had other sons. This wasn't his only son. This was the unique son because he was born of promise through the miraculous intervention of God in Sarah because of her faith in response to God's promise. So Isaac was unique. He stood in a unique relationship to God, and so is Jesus Christ. He is the uniquely begotten Son of God. Unique in that he came into the world with previous life behind him. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same in the beginning was with God. And the Word became flesh. So the one in Mary's womb had previous history. And in his previous history before the womb, he was God. Totally God. Fully God. Completely God. In every sense of the word God. And he came into our world in a unique way. Abraham had Sarah. Mary had no one, just the unique ministry of the Holy Spirit in her womb. And that made Jesus unique, one of a kind, the only one born of a virgin. That's what that means. And Abraham concluded that he could trust God to keep his promise concerning Isaac and at the same time obey God and sacrifice Isaac to God, because whatever God had to do, even resurrecting Isaac from the dead, God would do, because God is faithful. I have a sneaking suspicion when we get to heaven and I get a chance to talk to Abraham, I'll say, "Abe, tell me about that." And I think Abe's going to say something like this, "Well, you know, Jim, that was a tough, tough, tough period in my life. First of all, I couldn't imagine God asking me to do that. And secondly, realizing I had to do that, I had to be obedient to God. But then I remembered that evening when Sarah came in the tent and her eyes were sparkling. She says, 'Abraham, we are going to have a baby.' And you know, Jim, when I first heard her, I thought, 'Huh, come on, honey, you know, it's enough just you and me. We can end life together like this, you know.' No, Abraham, you heard him. You were there in the tent. when God said that. You heard what he said. Well, yeah, I did. But, you know, maybe he was being, you know, euphemistic. Maybe he was just trying to encourage us. No, Abraham, no. He said, we're going to have a baby. And Jim, as I thought back upon that night when Isaac was conceived, I realized I was dealing with a God who knows no boundaries. And if God could give my Sarah life for her womb, he could give life to my son, even if it required coming back from the dead. I think that's what Abraham's going to say. Our Heavenly Father, teach us that kind of faith, the kind of faith that takes your word, the words right here in this book, and we don't water them down. We don't dink them down. We don't try to change them and make them politically correct. We don't use the expression, well, yeah, but. But we take them at face value. We say, yeah, that's God speaking. And though I can't explain how he can do that, I know he can. So I'm going to act in obedience to what he says. And I'm going to act as if he's fully faithful to everything he promises, whatever it takes to do it. Father, I've been trying to think of anyone back there in Abraham's experience who had experienced resurrection. I'm coming up blank. I don't know that Abraham could point over and say, oh, yeah, this is like what happened in so-and-so's life back there 100 years ago. I don't think he had that kind of model, but I know he had the faith of Sarah as a bold testimony that what you promise, you will do. That keeping your promise is not dependent upon our deadness. Accomplishing your promises is not based upon our perfection, our performance. It's based upon your sufficiency. And everything you promise, you do. You are faithful. And we can stake our total confidence upon you. And when you make a promise that exceeds the limits of our understanding or even exhausts our capacity to imagine, you can do that. For with you, all things are possible. That's certainly true in the resurrection. As your Apostle Paul told us, that just as God raised Jesus from the dead, in the same manner, the dead will be raised, all of them. Some raised to life, those who died trusting your promise of salvation. The rest will not continue to mold in the grave forever. They will also be resurrected, and they will stand before you in their resurrected body. Because at Calvary, you died for them. They are indebted to you for something you did to provide for them the full forgiveness of sins. Something you did for them which cost you your life, but which made possible for every sinner the gift of eternal salvation, based on faith. believing that you are God, believing that you are faithful to your promises. And Father, that's true for me tonight and every person in the sound of my voice who is trusting Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. We are saved, not based upon our perfection or keeping ourselves perfect or in any way adding to that perfection. We are saved because you're faithful. You are faithful. We are sinners. We don't deserve it. But Abraham was right. And you beautifully illustrated to Abraham the fact that you are Lord over death. And that your promise of resurrection is true. Because you promise. Thank you tonight for the opportunity to look at these two dear friends. An old man and his faithful companion, discovering, like teenagers, a trusting God, acting in faith, believing you are faithful, is what makes the difference to experiencing all your promises. So tonight, Father, teach us to be people of faith and to trust you as these two dear servants did, and acting like we already have an inheritance in a place Jesus called my Father's house. So bless your people tonight and help us to take these things to heart. And give us encouragement and strength to face the next round as we walk with you into the rest of this week. May be written of us by faith, they lived, they obeyed God's word, and they saw God do everything he promised. To that end, we rest in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Abraham had seen God bring life to Sarah's dead womb. Why couldn't the Almighty bring life to a dead son? When you think God is challenging your faith, really asking you to stretch to believe something impossible, think of Abraham and Sarah. Pastor Jim has put a spin on an old line with his sermon title, Faithful Rocking Rules the World. We heard the second half today. You can get the individual message on CD for a gift of $7 or more. Or purchase the entire series, God's Ultimatum, Volume 2. It comes in an album of 20 CDs, yours for an offering of $69 or more. Stand by for ordering details. If you wish you could amplify the good voices, the truth-telling voices, consider sending a gift to Right Start Ministries. We're heard over radio stations in Ohio and New Zealand right now, plus the web. We'd love to expand that reach. Thanks to all of you who are giving and praying to make this happen. We couldn't do it without you. Please mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Or call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And check out the website, rightstartradio.org. When you visit, you'll find a mountain of materials designed to help you in your walk with the Lord. Radio shows, complete sermons, or we can shoot new programs to you automatically if you'll sign up for the Right Start podcast. We'll show you how. Just visit rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. We might be the most impatient people who ever lived, but in order to align ourselves with God's plan, we'll have to learn to take the long view. We hope you can join us for Friday's Right Start.